Welcome, everyone, to Dirt Doctor Radio, specializing in how to be honestly green. There'll be no greenwashing here, just accurate advice on products and techniques that are healthy to use, save money, and are really good for the environment. Tips and suggestions from listeners are encouraged, so give us a call at 866-444-3478. It's now time to venture through the foggy misinformation and learn about what truly is green. Here he is, the Dirt Doctor and proud owner of Mystery Dog Tater, Howard Garrett.
Okay, thanks, Logan, and welcome everybody to the show. Yeah, Tater was acting a little mystified this morning. He was curious. My routine was a little different. We had some issues with our new oven, and long story, won't get into it too much, technical thing with the oven, but I had a different routine, and he is used to his way of doing things in the morning. Welcome, everybody. We're going to talk about organic gardening and landscaping, pest control, compost making, whatever you'd like to discuss, telephone number. And you can jump on here. I don't have a whole lot to do before we go to the phone, so go ahead and jump on here, and we'll start working people in while I go through a few things, including in Howard's garden. We've got to talk about some irrigation and some watering issues a little bit. But the telephone number is 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478, 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. This first hour brought to you, as always, by Victor Pet Foods. Victor, terrific stuff, just really, really high quality. They have four grain-free formulas in addition to the products, several that contain grain. So whatever you and your pets, dogs and cats, like the most, we've found that our dogs like all of them that we've tried so far. I'm kind of using a combination of two right now, one of them that contains glucosamine. But anyway, give it a shot. It's victordogfood.com, the website, for information. A lot of good information there, a lot of good pictures of pets, and also in their Facebook page, which you can connect to through the website. I think you'll have fun with it. It's a lot of good-looking animals in there and good information about nutrition for your pets. It's victordogfood.com. Now, we've got what they help us with every week is the SPCA that's in the Dallas area. And, of course, we recommend wherever you are in the country to help the rescue organizations. The one we specifically work with here is the SPCA, which is just west of downtown Dallas, a new facility, relatively new place there. And Sparks is our dog this week. From previous weeks, Bella Marie, Roxy, Chewy, Sparks, and Zoe are still waiting for homes. People have been, we've been successful in getting some pets adopted, but we still have several here that need a little help, obviously. Their pictures are on our website. Go to the SPCA button on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com, and you can see pictures of those wonderful choices. This week's choice, Sparks, has been at the shelter for 132 days. They wanted me to talk about her again because we haven't had any luck with her either. She is a female, 9-year-old red female chow-chow mix, weighing about 60 pounds. She came to the SPCA on March 23rd. And let's see, loves to play with toys. She's great at snuggling and kisses, loves to be the center of attention, so she'd do best in a home without other dogs, so she can be the star. It's Sparks, good-looking gal, so check her out on our website under the SPCA button there on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com, and appreciate your help with that. And while you're at it, you know, check out the Victor dog food websites and Facebook. I think you'll enjoy that as well. Well, the big news around here is it's hot, and it's a weird hot. I tell you, I've had hot before. We're here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, as most of you know, but I don't know what the difference is this year. I was talking to Bob Webster about it on his show, which I do every Saturday morning for a little visit. And he said it was the same thing there. A lot of plants are burning. It's been a long time since I've seen this much damage to plants. It's cosmetic damage for the most part. But there are a lot of plants out there with cosmetic damage. Burn on the foliage, flowers not really performing like they normally do. Judy and I stopped on a trip yesterday. We were going to a friend's anniversary party way out west, and we stopped at the Fort Worth Botanical Gardens and had lunch at a little restaurant there and took a quick tour of the botanical gardens. And the place always looks great. And it still looks good considering what's going on, but I was just a little bit curious to see if they were having kind of the same issues that we were having in Dallas. And they were. The perennial garden normally just knocks your eyes out with color and all kinds of really pretty plants, and it looked a little weak. And I don't think they're doing a bad job of maintaining. I think they're probably doing the same thing they've always done, but it looked a little peaked, a lot of burn. It feels different to me outside, in which I am a lot, playing golf, gardening, working around the house, and so forth. There's a feel to it that's different. Now, whether it has anything to do with any physical heat and humidity, I don't have any idea. It may just be a perception situation since we had all that cool spring and tons and tons and tons of water. And I think maybe that's a little bit of the issue with some of the plants. They got so used to that, probably had some damage done in some cases by the huge amount of water and creating anaerobic situations in the soil, which led to some problems and, you know, on and on. But for whatever reason, it's a little different. Some of you in the rest of the country have completely different situations, whatever yours is. Questions related to that, we'd be glad to chat about it. But here in the South, anyway, here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for sure, for us, it is really, really hot. I've seen some landscaping and some golf courses and parks, big places, that are pretty yellow, pretty burned up, and I don't think anybody's watering any differently. I think it's just very, very difficult to keep up with it. If you haven't heard me talk about irrigation before, what we normally recommend and what we still recommend is really heavy water, and that might be the one key to talk about if you haven't already tried it, is when you water a long time. Water a very long time, really saturate things in with whatever system that you're using, and then stop and go as long as you can before you water again. These people that water, and I know it's common. I know it's common in the landscape industry and in the irrigation business as well, to set the sprinklers to run pretty short periods of time, pretty short to very short periods of time, and run often, sometimes twice a day, a lot of times every day. I think that's a horrible way to water because you're keeping the moisture way up in the top few inches of the soil, and with this heat, it burns out quickly, and that may be what a lot of the stress out there is. I've seen some golf courses, one that I play a lot, where the watering is done, well, let's just say there's not a place that waters more than this place, and it's burned. It's yellow and burned. So it's very common out there. And some of the plant issues that we'll run into are related to that, and we'll talk about it today. Anything you want to talk about, insects, diseases, or whatever. Let me see what else I need to do before we go to phone calls. We have new software here, so my computer, I'm looking at something different. Looks like it works about the same, though, in here, David. So hopefully that'll be fine for us. News about diet drinks. Let me do that real quickly, and then we'll go to the phone. Well, I'll tell you what. We've had people holding for a while. Let me go ahead and talk to Robert and see if it works the same way. Robert, is it touch screen just like before? Robert, you there? Well, we may have to take a break and figure out how to. Got some new toys here. Let me go ahead and do this first, and we'll go to the phones when we get back.
Very good.
New Robert, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Howard. What can I do for you?
Good morning, Howard. Thanks for taking my call, bud.
Sure.
My tomatoes started off with a bang, real good this year.
Right.
And some of them I planted as seeds back in January. Six of them I bought non-hybrid from a local co-op.
Right.
But in the past 3 weeks, 4 weeks, the blooms have been turning brown and getting crisp and just falling off. The leaves are curling up where they almost all look like big tomato worms, but they're not. And I water every other day.
Okay.
Hand water.
Our timing wasn't good because of getting with you, Robert. Can you hang on through the break with me? We'll talk about this because it's very common and it's related to the water issues I've started with there. Can you hang on?
Sure.
I'll be back in a little bit with Robert about vegetables, and we'll talk about anything else you want to with Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Don't go away. I have a great recommendation for container gardening. Smart Pot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
Crazy water is so good, it's crazy. Here's the crazy water tip of the day. Electrolytes like sodium, potassium, magnesium, and chloride recharge your cells. That's especially important for your heart and muscles. Low electrolytes can lead to fatigue and cramping. Crazy water contains over 11 minerals that help with hydration recovery, replenishing your electrolytes, and more. And crazy water does it all naturally. Get some at Whole Foods, Central Market, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
You can have a beautiful landscape and be kind to the environment. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulture expert. For great results, whether vegetables, lawns, trees, shrubs, or flowers, I recommend Milorganite Organic Nitrogen Fertilizer. Its slow-release, goop-proof formula provides consistent feeding and is safe for children and pets. So whether you're a seasoned or novice gardener, trust the fertilizer that's been proven effective for over 85 years. Use Milorganite for all your lawn and garden needs. Anywhere you want good things to grow. Milorganite for better results naturally.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All right, Howard, back with you. And we started off talking with Robert about his tomato plants. Let's see if we can get back to that a little bit. Robert, you there?
Sure, yes.
When plants are burning like your tomatoes are and not keeping the flowers on it, it relates directly to what I started with. It's just this incredibly intense heat. And it's, I don't think there's a whole lot you can do except for one thing, Robert, and I've learned that by playing around with an idea. And we've recently used shredded cedar. You know, any kind of shredded native tree trimmings, mulch is my favorite mulch. We've done quite a bit about it lately. But when you put a thicker layer of mulch on when it's this intense heat, you keep that temperature and moisture more at the place where it ought to be, right at the surface of the soil. And I'm a little bit cavalier myself with my own plants about that. A lot of times I'll let the mulch break down and get real thin and not keep it as thick as I should. Well, when it's 100 degrees plus, I think that's the most important thing you can do. If you do foliar feeding with soft, gentle things, you know, that your own Garrett juice mixture and things like that, I think that helps. But I think the most important thing at this point in time with this kind of weather and heat is the thick mulch. Now, you have to be careful about piling it up on the trunks. You can do as much damage with that as not putting it out. But if you put it real thick and then let it dip down, have kind of a dish right at the stem of the plants.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it would have been better if you'd started doing this before it, you know, got this intensely hot. But I'm seeing my own tomatoes, and I haven't taken very good care of them, but I've looked at other people's crops around, and everybody's are looking about the same exact way yours are.
So the blooms and the leaf curl is a direct result of the excessive heat?
I think it's just burning. And like I said, what variety of tomatoes do you have?
Howard, I don't remember.
Okay. Well, if you do the mulch, it'll be good long-term anyway to have the mulch out there, but you might see that the plants come around, and if it's something like, the Super Fantastic or some of the indeterminate tomatoes, you might see them make it, and as the weather moderates just a little bit, come back and have a fall production. The other thing is to plant some more if you can find some decent plants in this weather to plant and have a fall crop. But it's tough right now putting out new plants.
Well, I've planted bell peppers four times, and
yeah,
they've yet to come up. And I use homemade compost.
Yeah.
water them every other day.
Well, try the shredded mulch real thick on the plants that are stressing. See if you can't turn them around. And next, if it works, keep that in mind for next time as a preventative to keep it from happening so badly.
Would do you suggest? I've been treating them or spraying them every week, once a week with Garrett juice. And that's foliar spray, and then once a week I've been wetting the roots down. Is that helping or hurting?
Well, it should help, but you just can't override the conditions that we're having. You might, once a week is an awful lot. I think you would almost get the same benefit and save some time and money if you do it once every 2 weeks.
Okay.
And make sure you don't mix it too strongly. Especially when it's really, really hot, and spray early in the morning. That's the best time. Late in the afternoon, a lot of people think is just as good, but, you know, it stays extremely hot really, really late. So the best time to do any kind of foliar work is going to be early morning.
Well, one other question. Mm-hmm. On the cantaloupe leaves, the mm-hmm. yellow spots, and, of course, the leaves right close to the root system is falling off. And I irrigate out of a pond that I have algae in, and I put a 50-pound bag of ground-up cornmeal and spread it on top of that algae. Mm-hmm. Is that irrigation out of my pond onto these plants causing that fungus?
No, and if anything, it would be helping to keep it under control. I'm seeing a lot of that. I've seen it from interior plants to my Turk's cap have some little fungal yellow spots like that. I'm seeing that widespread. There's some really weird, interesting things going on in trees as well. I think the stress is just allowing the pathogens to jump on plants a little bit here and there. What you might do, and I've gotten some good feedback from people, some of Bob Webster's listeners as well as mine, that when you add the hydrogen peroxide, when you start seeing those little diseases pop up a little bit, makes all the difference in the world. So give that a try if you haven't yet.
What about how much peroxide to per gallon of water?
Well, per gallon of spray, whatever's coming out of your sprayer, if uh-huh. the hydrogen peroxide from the grocery store, you know, the 3% stuff makes up about a quart or less of the gallon mix, that's good for that use. All right.
Very good.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you, Howard.
I appreciate that very much. I've figured out how to do. Yeah, we're going to have to use the mouse instead of touching the screen. That's the key. Here's Greg in Fort Worth. Hey, Greg.
Hello.
What's up?
Hey, Howard, I got a magnolia tree that I was wanting to move
okay.
about 4 feet. And I was trying to figure out time frame to do that. Wasn't the best time of the year to do something like
okay.
that.
Okay. I may surprise you on this one, Greg. The best time to move, it's going to be the fall after the fall color hits the deciduous plants. You know, once things start turning yellow and orange and red, that means systems have pretty much shut down. The second best time, and magnolia is definitely in this category, they go dormant in the dead heat of the summer, which means right now. So you could move it now with just about as good luck.
Huh. Okay.
All right.
All right, thank you.
I appreciate the call. And just use the planting techniques, you know, that we recommend, the wide, ugly hole. Move it as quickly as you can. It'll do fine. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back with you right after this.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step-by-step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best-looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478. Or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And telephone number is 866-444-3478. Let's talk to Maggie. And I'm so used to touching the screen and not working this morning. Hi, Maggie.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine. Where are you in Arkansas?
North Central.
All right. Beautiful state. What's up?
Well, we have this year the first time we've ever tried to grow watermelon, and everything we grow is a heritage variety. Mm-hmm. And these are Alibaba watermelon.
Okay.
They're a Rocky melon.
Okay.
And they started coming real nice, and they got about 4 inches long, and they're getting a black rot on the ends.
All right. The same thing happens on tomatoes. And it's the same cause. It is called blossom end rot is what it is. It's a little bit of a complicated answer, but basically it means that the water is not necessarily being pulled into the plant efficiently, and the nutrients aren't getting there like they need to be. What kind of bed preparation have you done to start with?
Oh, it's just organic compost.
Okay. Tell you a couple of things if you haven't used them before that will help you, and it might help you with some of the ones that might still come on, the ones that are already having that problem on the end. The good news is it doesn't ruin the whole watermelon. It just ruins that one spot generally. It doesn't keep spreading through the whole fruit. But the two things that people have great luck with when they don't have their bed preparation as biologically active as they need to, and all the trace minerals and major nutrients too available to the plant, they use Epsom salts for one thing, and also some soft rock phosphate, which will be harder for you to find. You may have to order it mail order. But the Epsom salts really helps quite a bit with a lot of situations. You mix it about 1 ounce per gallon, somewhere between 1 tablespoon and 1 ounce per gallon, and you use it as a liquid drench throughout the hills, the watermelon hills or rows, however you have them planted. And that will probably help you a lot. Do you do any foliar feeding?
No, mm-hmm. None at all.
Okay, well, you might want to look at that for future crops, foliar feeding with a compost tea that you'd make from your own compost, or better still, make the entire Garrett juice, which you start off with the compost tea, and then you add to that 1 ounce per gallon of spray, liquid molasses, liquid seaweed, apple cider vinegar, and you can put in some other ingredients too, but those are the main ingredients. And you foliar spray with it and also drench the soil. And you can create a situation where that the calcium and the phosphorus, the major nutrients, are getting into the plant and doing what they're supposed to do, but also the trace minerals are becoming more available to the plant. And that'll make a big difference, not only in the blossom end rot, which you're seeing, but also the taste of the fruit.
Okay. Now, we have two other situations. One, Japanese dodder.
Okay. The yellow?
And I don't know where it came from.
You talking about the yellow spaghetti-looking stuff?
Oh, it is just, it took over the pumpkin and the summer squash. And, I mean, we just are steady pulling it off.
Okay. Well, now you can kill it with any of the organic herbicides. You can kill it with the vinegar mixture, with the fatty acid products. My vinegar and other organic recipes are under guides on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. You can use those to kill it. You can also use hydrogen peroxide to kill dodder. The problem is all those sprays are non-selective, which means it'll hurt your plants as well. But if you need to kill it and wipe out an area and start over, any of those things will kill it.
Okay, well, the only place we saw it was actually on the plants. And, I mean, we've spent 2 weeks just continually removing this stuff, and we can't even find a root.
Well, it starts growing in the ground, and it comes out of the ground like a normal plant. And then once it's up in the plant, it can actually live without being connected to the soil. So first thing to do is what it sounds like you've already done. See if it is connected to the ground in any places, and if it is, rip it out at that point. And then the rest of the spray is physical removal or spraying with one of those contact herbicides. And just you have to be careful about trying to keep it off of your good plants. And then the long-term solution is to not have any bare soil. Keep the soil mulched as well as you can so it can't get started.
Okay. All right. The other thing is we're having, and we're talking about a very large area, 200 acres or better, of white oaks dying and redbud. And, I mean, everything looks like it's frying.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's killing the trees.
Yeah, you're having the same problem we're having here. Is your soil sandy soil there, sandy loam?
No, primarily it's a very heavy clay.
It's heavy. Okay, the only thing you can do short of doing a rain dance for some more rain to come back in, well, there's a couple things. Lava sand, which you will probably have to find some sand and gravel company in your area that'll bring it in for you. But if you or you can buy it directly from New Mexico and have it shipped out since you've got acreage. You put the lava sand out at 1 to 2 tons per acre. There's nothing you can put on the land that will hold the water at just the right level for a longer period of time than lava sand. It's amazing how well it works.
Well, the other 200 acres is a little impractical to put a ton per acre.
Well, it's not very expensive. You pay very little for the material. It's the shipping cost, but it's the only thing that will make a difference without just watering differently. And the watering differently, especially for the trees, is to somehow figure out a way to have the water run on the ground for a long period of time and really soak deeply into the soil.
Okay. So you're saying it's probably a water issue.
Oh, yeah. They're just burning, even though we had a lot of rain in the spring, and y'all probably did too. But right now, it's what I was talking about with the issues we're seeing here of plants burning, is that right now the plants are transpiring. They're losing water faster than they can pull it up. So doing something with the lava sand, with mulch on the surface of the soil, which will also help. If you can track down any tree trimming companies in your area, or if you're doing any tree trimming on your own property, don't ever let any of that material leave the property. Spread it as a mulch, and it does an enormous amount of good, especially for the price, which basically can be nothing.
All right. And are these trees damaged permanently?
Usually, if it is a one-time event, no. It'll stress them temporarily, and then they'll come back. If it continues to happen for a long period of time or over and over again, it can finally stress them enough to where other things can come in and attack diseases and insects and take them out.
So, okay.
Yeah.
'Cause there's a few of them that are real close to the house, and, I mean, these are good size. They're probably maybe anywhere between 20 and 36 inches in diameter oak trees.
Well, those are where you need to bite the bullet and invest in some lava sand to get it on the ground, some mulch on the bare soil, and have the water hoses running, you know, all night long and really soaking some root zones. And you'll see what it does, and then you can do it in on a larger scale as money and time allows.
Okay, well,
okay.
Thank you very much. I appreciate all your answers.
I appreciate your call. Let me we had so many calls to begin with. I didn't get to something I wanted to cover, and then we'll get right back to the phone. So jump on here at 866-444-3478 whenever you hear somebody hang up especially. There's some news that I wanted to cover with you, and it relates to diet sodas and sodas in general, I guess. There was news item just a day or so ago that Diet Pepsi, Pepsi Company, has decided to take aspartame out of their Diet Pepsi. This is a big decision. It comes from an interesting reason. It comes from the fact that their sales have dropped by 5.2%, and that's because so many people in the world are thinking about health more, and they're learning that diet sodas, especially those that contain aspartame, are not good for you at all. The really interesting part of this story is that Coke is not doing the same. Diet Coke is not changing. Their sales have dropped 6.6%, even more, and so they're going to stick with the aspartame. They are continuing to say that their research shows it's no problem at all. I just use aspartame at home to put out on site to kill a bunch of ants. It works pretty well. Probably about all you need to know about aspartame and whether you ought to be eating it or not. Some other interesting statistics from that story include the fact that 62% of Americans, this really caught my attention, 62% of Americans are avoiding diet sodas. And that's great. That's up. 50% are actively avoiding sugar. That's good, too. You know, too much sugar can be bad for you, as the artificial sweeteners, although artificial sweeteners are worse. And then 47% are staying away from fat. That's not the best thing. Good quality fats are actually good for you, and there's a real misconception about that. But anyway, kind of interesting news. And those of you that don't know that yet, diet drinks are not good for you. They're not even good for you for losing weight. They may even cause you to gain weight. So kind of heed some of that and try to stay away. Drink some water and some tea and some other things that would be better, much better for you. Back to the phones here. It's Linda's turn in Mineral Wells, Texas. I was through your part of the world yesterday. What's going on, Linda?
Okay. Did you see, happen to look at the oak trees that have, it looks like a powdery mildew, and it's falling to the ground. It's sticky. My son says that it's aphids. And I've got friends up in Grayford that are spraying with a 7-type. I know, but they won't listen.
I'll tell them on the 7 to look at my website and look at the fact that 7, the active ingredient in it, killed several thousand people in Bhopal, India, for one thing. It's one of the most toxic chemicals still on the market and has this incredibly bizarre reputation that it is a, you know, low toxicity pesticide, but it's an extremely high toxicity pesticide. And not only that, it's one of the worst pesticides to use as far as hurting pollinators, especially honeybees. Your question is very common. I'm getting photographs from people about it. Some of the first photographs were such quality, they were too fuzzy for me to see exactly what's going on. I think I know now, and I'll cover it for you when I come back, okay?
Okay.
Hang on with me. Birds are coming in real loudly. I'll be back right after this. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, here for Victor Pet Foods. In addition to the grain-free choices, all the great Victor products are wheat, corn, soy, and gluten-free and are naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater love Victor. Your dogs and cats will too. Ask for Victor at your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
While summer is the absolute best time for swimming, cookouts, and much-anticipated vacations, it's the worst time to endure the pain and embarrassment of unexpected gas and bloating. Bloating often isn't even triggered by how much food you eat, but rather what you eat. Some foods are difficult for your body to break down, and those undigested particles pass into the colon and produce uncomfortable gas bubbles that can make your stomach swell and bloat, and can even lead to weight gain. Enter your summertime savior, Dr. O'Hara's award-winning probiotics. This probiotic powerhouse helps by efficiently breaking down food that is challenging to digest. As a result, the undigested food occupies less space, so gas and bloating are significantly minimized. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available in convenient blister packs, perfect for traveling. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this summer. Look for Dr. O'Hara's probiotics at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now manufacturing Garrett Juice Pro, the advanced mix of Garrett Juice formula. Garrett Juice Pro improves the health of soil and plants with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and hydrolyzed fish, also beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it at garden centers, farm and feed stores, and hardware stores. For Garrett Juice and other fine products, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The Sick Tree Treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products, and one of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And we were talking with, let's see where I was, Linda in Mineral Wells. Linda, you still there with us? Your white stuff on your trees is very common out there, and it's from the stress. It's from the stress of the huge amount of rain and anaerobic situation we had for a while, followed by this incredible heat that we're having now that, like I was talking earlier, is creating some new things. And one of them is what you're seeing. It's mealybugs. Mealybugs are a form of aphid. They're a fancy aphid. They're big, and they're covered in white stuff, and that's one of the most common things I'm seeing. It's probably what you're seeing. If you touch it and some little moving things can fall off of it, that's definitely what it is.
Okay.
And aphid, the mealybugs are the first insect that Malcolm Beck and I were ever able to successfully control with what we were and have called mound drench. It probably, and for this use, needs another name. But basically what it is the Garrett juice mixture, compost, tea, vinegar, molasses, and seaweed with orange oil. 2 ounces of orange oil added per gallon of the Garrett juice spray. And it kills mealybugs beautifully. Now, they will come back because they're stress-related. If the stress remains in the trees, I think this is a weather stress, and I think that in most cases the plants will get over it. Where Malcolm and I first ran into it was on ranches and farms more than any place where people were using herbicides, broadleaf herbicides, to control broadleaf plants and grasses in areas around their trees, and it really led to stress, and it really encouraged these mealybugs to come on. I think what's encouraged at this time is the combination of too much rain followed by extremely dramatic heat. If you didn't do anything, the trees probably wouldn't die, but they are in stress. If you foliar feed, this would be a foliar feed and an insect control. So doing it would definitely be worth the effort and the cost, especially for important trees that are big and, you know.
Yeah, these are my oak trees. And how will I go about trying to spray the top of an oak tree?
Well, they're probably post oaks, aren't they? And not over about 25 feet tall, 30 feet tall?
They're a big roofed oak. I don't know. They were here. They're native here in Monroe.
Even if they're taller than that, you can spray with, you can get somebody to come and spray it for you, for one thing, or you can get a power sprayer, rent one from one of the rental companies that'll spray more than, you know, to the top of the trees.
Okay.
You can also go to a hardware store or a garden center and buy what's called a backpack sprayer. It has a handle on the side and pumps, and the one I use is a steel product, but there's others that are probably good as well. You pump them and spray. There's no motor or anything. It's just the pressure you build up from pumping. And you can spray 25 feet or so with those kind of spreaders. Sprayers. Those run, a good one will run you somewhere around $70 to $100, something like that.
Hey, my oak trees are worth it.
Yeah, you might want to get somebody to come in and spray it for you. The only thing to be careful about there is you need to ask them what else they've been spraying out of that sprayer, and if they've been using, you know, herbicides and stuff, don't let them use it. You need to use somebody that's been using some clean stuff. In your area, there's somebody not too far from you in Weatherford that is into organic applications, and it's Peacock Feed Store in downtown Weatherford. And if they do dry applications of fertilizers primarily, but they might know somebody that would do the spraying for you and is into organics.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that, Howard.
Okay, Linda. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good luck with your trees. And that's a common problem. I think that several of the photographs people have sent me, that's what's showing up in the trees. The only thing that you might want to consider adding to that basic mound drench spray of, like I said, the Garrett juice mixture with 2 ounces of orange oil added to it. It's not a commercial mix that you can buy. You got to make it yourself there. But you might want to add some hydrogen peroxide to the mix as well, because related to the insects or maybe some disease associated also. And if you have that, which probably do, the hydrogen peroxide will help quite a bit. Here's Dave in Aledo, Texas. I was also through there yesterday, same route. Hey, Dave.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
Good, sir. Well, I've been doing what you said on the tree mulch. We've talked in the past, and I've got a big pile of tree mulch that's about a year old. It's been working. But I got one oak tree, and I've been trying desperately to keep it alive. And I came up with an idea here. I've got a little auger, like the kind you use for T-posts.
Goes
down about a foot. And what I was going to do, thinking about doing, is punching some holes around the drip line and in underneath the overhang with that, and then putting in some of that dry sick tree treatment, and then watering it real heavy.
That's an excellent idea. That's just a better way of aerating and will help you greatly. I'm going to put you on hold and talk off the air. We've got a guest coming up that I'll be visiting with, and we'll have her on, and then get back to the phones as quickly as I can. Telephone number to be with me is 866-444-3478. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor.